Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kuf Yud and Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara here is quoting from the Mishnah, if they're missing any amount, and then they were placed, in that case, he is patur, if there is any deficit in the item, and that we already learned because they have to be shalem. The item has to be shalem in order for you to be chayav when you do the hakrava b'chutz, and especially with regards to the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah, whereby the chisaron of those items makes them psulim bifnim. So if a chisaron makes them pasul bifnim, then when you do it bachutz, it's not going to be chayav, because we know that it has to be something that is ru'ur the petach ohel moed. Gemara asks here, ibailuhu, chisaron de chutz, shmei chisaron, or lo shmei chisaron? When you have a deficit in the item, is it only a problem when the deficit happens bifnim? When it happens while it's still in the kodesh, which would make it pasul, to be put on the Mizbeach in that instance? Or is it even when the Chisaron, when the deficit happens, after it's left the Azara, after it's already Bachutz? So now, Mi Amrinan, Kevin de Nafak, since it left, if Sululuhu, Mimanov Shach, it's Pasul, Mali Chaser, Mali Yeter. Once you're ready Pasul because of Yotze, mean that you've already left the area, the limitations in which this item can be. You've already gone outside of those areas. So the korban is already pasul. What does it matter then if it's pasul because of Yotze? Or is it also pasul because it has more or less than it needs? Odilma, Yotze de ita be'ene. Maybe only when you have Yotze where it's intact and the integrity of the item is still there. Then in that case, you'll be chayav hakrav v'chutz. The leta be'ene, if it's not intact or the integrity has been compromised, lo, in that case, it will not be chayav for hakrava b'chutz. It's interesting, Havamin in the Gemara over here, to correlate the two items. Because, let us look at Yotze. Yotze, as the Tosafot said back on Kuf Chet, is the fundamental violation over here. It's the fact that you're doing it b'chutz. So Yotze, in some senses, is a prerequisite to being chayav, is that you're taking something that was kodesh, that should have been taken bifnim, and you're taking it out. So that Yotze is a part and parcel of the violation, and therefore Tosafot said back in Kuf Chet, you'd use the test of Imala lo yered for Yotze. So even items that, had they been placed in the Mizbech, they'd be taken off. If the only psul in that item is Yotze, that it was taken outside of the area where it was supposed to be kept, that is not enough to disqualify it from being chayav rakrav bachutz. Because again, Yotze is part and parcel of the violation here. You're doing something bachutz. So then, why does the Gemara have a havamina here that the chisaron of the item should be in the second category as Yotze? Yotze, again, is fundamentally connected to the iser over here. Chisaron is not necessarily fundamentally connected, and you could easily see how you would differentiate between the two items. Yet the Gemara speculates here that if Yotze already makes it pasul, so too the chisaron that makes it pasul should make no difference. Why would you compare the items? The truth is that it might have to do with the fact that chisaron is also an inevitable outcome of this item. And that is because anytime you do akrava, when you are maktir something on the mizbeach, it slowly becomes chaser. It is burnt and it becomes chaser as you burn it. So therefore maybe part and parcel of the akhtara is this aspect of chisaron that is associated with it. And what the Gemara may be doing over here is connecting the two items and saying, just like Yotze is a part and parcel of the violation, and therefore it's in its own category, it's not enough of a psul to say that you're not chayav hakdara b'chutz, maybe chisaron should be in that same category. That if it only becomes chaser outside, which it's going to inevitably become anyway when you put it on the mizbeach there, maybe that's not enough to make it that it is psul to the point where you're not chayav hakravat chutz. Or, maybe we say that Yotze and chisaron are different types of psulim, and again, that goes back to what we discussed in the beginning, as to why you would differentiate between the two items. So now, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Tashma. We can learn it from the Mishnah. I'm going to continue to use Rabbi Elazar. There's some question as to the Girsa, both in the Mishnayot that we read previously, and the upcoming Mishnayot, and the upcoming Gemarot, as well as the previous Gemarot, as to whether the Girsa is Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Elazar. The most of the Mishnayot have Rabbi Elazar written them, even though the Mishnayot and the Gemara have Rabbi Eliezer. And the Shita Mekubetzin in most of the location changes it from Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Elazar. So I'm going to use Rabbi Elazar, but just be aware of the fact that there is a question about the Girsa over here. So Tashma, Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says, Poter, Adji Akrivet Kulan. that he's poter until you put the entirety of the item on the mizbeach. Amalei Rabba Baruch Rav Chanan Abaye mi Rabbi Elazar Pashit Mar. How are you concluding anything from the shita of Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar has a requirement that has to be kulo kayam, and entirety of it has to go on the mizbeach. He doesn't even agree with the chachamim who say that if it's kayam and you get a portion on the mizbeach, you're chayav. He says you have to get the entirety of the thing on the mizbeach. Of course, according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no question that chisaron is going to cause you a problem. So what are you trying to prove from Rabbi Elazar? It's really hard to understand what type of evidence you're bringing through the shita of Rabbi Elazar. So Amar Lei, so Abaye responds to him and says, "Beferish mi'li mi'meid Rav." I heard explicitly from Rav, "Adkan lo plige rabbanan aleid Rabbi Elazar," that the rabbanan don't argue on Rabbi Elazar with regards to this issue. Eladita be'enik. That's only if the entirety of the item is kayam. Rashi said this on the Mishnah. We explained this yesterday. That even according to the chachamim, who say that you are chayav, even for putting a kezayit on the mizbeach b'chutz, that's only if the entirety of the item exists. Because again, bifnim, there's a requirement that there not be chaser. It still doesn't mean that you need the entirety to be considered haktara. You can have haktara of a smaller portion, but you still need it to be intact. Aval b'chisaron, module. But if it's missing something, they agree to him. So now Abaye says the reason I'm showing you Rabbi Elazar is because the chachamim don't disagree with Rabbi Elazar with regards to chisaron. And that is that the chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar as to what fundamental haktara is, but zayit is enough to be considered haktara. That's the Rabbanan's view. And Rabbi Elazar believes you need the entirety of the item to get on there to be considered haktara. But as far as the existence of the item, the chachamim agreed that it has to be there. It has to be intact for you to be chayav in the haktara of a kezayit. So now, if, according to Rabbi Elazar, a chisaron is problematic, the chachamim don't disagree with that. They also agree that a chisaron is problematic. Lav de chaser b'chutz. What's the scenario in our Mishnah? It must be a case where the chisaron happened after it left. Where it says, lo, de chaser b'pnim. There's no evidence that it's talking about a chisaron that happened after it left the azara, or once it was b'chutz. Maybe it's a chisaron that happened bifnim. They have no evidence as to which way it is, and therefore you can't prove anything as to the position of the chachamim. Tashma, v'kulan shechasru, v'krivan b'chutz, patur. And we also had in the Mishnah, then anything that was missing, and then they did akrava b'chutz, then you are patur. Lav dechaser b'chutz. Again, isn't there a chisaron here that happened outside? And that chisaron then would be evidence of the fact that chisaron b'chutz does ruin the item. Where it says lo, the chaser b'fnim. Once again, the chisaron happened inside, or in essence, we don't know where it happened. And since that's the case, you can't prove anything from these statements, that of Rabbi Elazar, and then the inference from Rav's statement about what the position of the chachamim is, nor from the latter part of the Mishnah that says that anything that is chaser, that is mukrav b'chutz, is patur. Again, because we have no evidence that that chisaron happened outside, and the Gemara leaves it as inconclusive as to what the status of an item is when the chisaron happens outside of the area bifnim, where it would have been definitely pasul, because these items that are psulim bifnim don't go on the mizbeach. Now, the Baal HaTosafot asks over here, what is the chiddush of Rav? He says, v'teima mai kamashmalan. What is Rav teaching us that we don't know already from the Mishnah? He says, tanina le'el. We already had that in the Mishnah on Kuftet. V'kulan shechasru kol shehu. Anything that's missing any amount. V'chol apachot haynu chasru b'mifnim. And again, that's something that has at least a chisaron bifnim. And therefore the Chachamim clearly agree with Rabbi Elazar's position. Because it says v'kulan at the end of the Mishnah. And that is the divrei akol. That's not just in the position of Rabbi Elazar. So the Mishnah explicitly states that a chisaron is a deficit even according to the Chachamim. So what is Rav adding that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Elazar? I could have looked at the Mishnah, I would have known that information. So the Achronim over here try to answer the question that Tosafot poses by suggesting that our Mishnah only dealt with particular items. Kometz, Levuna, Toret, the Minchat Kohanim, Minchat Kohen Mashiach, Minchat Nesachim. Those items where, if they are placed on the Mizbeach when there's a Chisaron, they're not considered Sheirim. So then, when you talk about a chisaron, the chachamim are going to agree. What Rav adds is that the chachamim don't only agree here in the instance where we're dealing with an item, bifnim, that it has a chisaron, would be poselet, but that the chachamim agree to Rabbi Elazar even in the case of a behema, or an olah, and those types of items where bifnim, any amount is considered to be akdara, and chisaron is not an issue for the processing of the korban, because there the ikar processing of the korban is the dam that goes on the mizbeach, and therefore the chisaron is not as big a deal by the behemot. Nevertheless, the chachamim agreed to Rabbi Elazar, if there is a chisaron, that would be problematic for those behemot, because the pasuk specifically says lasototo, that it has to be shalem when it comes to the hakorva b'chutz. So that's what some suggest, that Rav is adding a dimension to the chachamim's position over here, not only by the items that are mentioned in the Mishnah of a kometz and a mincha and all the other items that are mentioned there, but also for behemot, olot and shlamim, those items where normally chisaron won't have that type of impact on them. Nevertheless, Rav is going to suggest that the chachamim would agree that a chisaron here is a deficit because it's a failure in lasototo, where it has to be kushu shalem velo chaser. So now the Gemara continues and says, hamakriv kodoshim, which is the last line of the Mishnah, which the Girsa probably is, hamaleh kodoshim ve'imurim bachutz chayav. Someone who's maleh, here kodoshim means the basar of the korban, along with the imurim. In that instance, you are chayav. So we said in the Mishnah that the chiddush of the Mishnah is the fact that the basar in these instances is basar that is la'achila. Speaking about kodshei kodoshim, or even kodshim kalim, where the basar is la'achila, and the imrim go on the mizbeach. As opposed to an ola, where the entirety of the item is kalil and goes on the mizbeach, there obviously the basar and the imrim are not going to be a problem for each other. But over here, where you put the basar and the imrim onto the mizbeach, and the basar does not belong on the mizbeach, but the imrim do belong on the mizbeach, so the violation for Allah b'chutz is only going to be vis-a-vis the imrim, not in the basar. Amai, why is it that you are chayav for that type of alav chutz? Vayika chatzitza. So this is the core problem here. Don't you have a chatzitza? Rashi over here explains that the chatzitza is derived from the posuk that's brought in the beginning of Vayikra, Perakal Pasukhet, where it says, Varchu bnei Aaron hakohenim et hanitachim, et harosh, v'et hapoder, al ha'etzim, asher la'ish, asher la'mizbeach. So there's a requirement that the nitachim, or the items of the korban, be placed directly, ala etzim, asher la'ish, on the pyre that has the fire on it, asher al mizbeach, that is on the mizbeach. So there is some requirement of the item being directly connected to the etzim and to the esh, or to the maracha. And so you have the possibility here that the basar would act as a chatzitza between the emurim and the pyre, or the etzim, the esh, or the maracha that is on the mizbeach. So Amar Shmuel Kishav Chan. It's a case where he flipped them over. Flipping them over is because the fats are found on one side, the basar is on the other side. So he flipped them over to the side where the fats went directly on the fire, and the basar was on the outer side and didn't act as a chatzitza. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Teima Shlof Chan. Even in a case where he didn't flip them over. Vahamani, who's the author of this Mishnah? Rabbi Shimoni. That is Rabbi Shimon, the machloket that we had between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, as to when you have halah b'chutz, do you require mizbeach? Or is it sufficient to have a sela or an evin to be chayav? Rabbi Yossi had a requirement of a mizbeach, and you only chayav halah b'chutz when it's done on a mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Shimon believed that even on a sela or even an evin, and so what he's suggesting over here is that, this is Rabbi Shimon Damar, afilo al sela chayav. Even if you do it on a sela, it's chayav. So if you do not have the requirement for mizbeach, then you certainly don't have the requirement of varchu ala etzim asher la'ish al mizbeach. You're not going to have that requirement that it be placed directly on the esh, on the etzim, on the mizbeach, because there's no requirement for mizbeach. So since there's no requirement for mizbeach, there's also no requirement that they go directly on the pyre, and therefore the basar is not going to be a problem in terms of being a chatzitza there, because it doesn't have to get directly on there to be chayav haktara b'chutz, as opposed to, which the Gemara is implying here, Rabbi Yossi, who does require mizbeach, and even though, as we saw in the Gemara, that when he requires mizbeach, he does not require all the trappings of the mizbeach inside the Azara, because a bamaktana doesn't have all those requirements of keren, ribua, kevesh, all those items. It has to be loosely a mizbeach. Nevertheless, what you see here is that the requirement, not only for mizbeach, but for arhu etzim al-aish, also applies according to Rabbi Yossi, based on the Mizbeach. It might be a little easier to explain that the Chatzitza here is between the item and the Mizbeach itself, because then it would be more readily understandable as to why, when Rabbi Yossi says you need Mizbeach, that the item has to be in direct contact with the Mizbeach, because that is one of the requirements. And if you believe that there's a necessity for it to be on the Mizbeach and no Chatzitza between the item and the Mizbeach, then it would be easier to understand why if Rabbi Yossi requires Mizbeach, he'd also require that it be directly in contact with the Mizbeach, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, who just requires Selah, and therefore there would be no requirement of attachment to the Mizbeach. The problem with that is there doesn't seem to be anywhere where the Gemara gives us an indication that there is such a requirement for directly being on the Mizbeach, but I think what you could suggest here is that if you take a combination of these two ideas, that which Rashi suggests over here, that has to be directly in contact with the Maracha, and the fact that the Maracha has to be placed in the Mizbeach, that's what the Pasuk says, Alei Tzim, Ashel Eish, Ashel Mizbeach, then if you combine those two items, I think it makes it easier to understand that there is a requirement that be placed on the Maracha, and on the Maracha that sits on the Mizbeach. And therefore, if you require Mizbeach, then you're going to require that it be placed on a Maracha, on the Mizbeach, because that's part and parcel of the Din of Mizbeach. Whereas if you don't require Mizbeach, you're not going to require that. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan suggests over here, that this is a Liba to Rabbi Shimon. Rav Amar, Min b'mino eino chutzetz. He says that they're the same min. Basar and emurim are considered to be the same category of item. And since that's the case, even though halachically they have a different category, one is placed on the Mizbeach and one is eaten, but nevertheless, with relationship to the animal and the consumption, then the emurim and the basar are classified as being a min bimino. And since it's min bimino, eino chutzetz. There is no chatzitza with regards to min bimino. That doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbi Yochanan or Shmuel, who disagree with the assumption of Rav over here, think that min bimino is chutzetz. It just might mean that they don't believe that in this instance it's really min bimino. Because in the end, they are two separate items. There's the emurim and the basar. And they're not necessarily one item. They might be similar. The question is, how similar over here? And that might be the machlok between Rav and the others. But not necessarily it's a fundamental machlok as to whether min bimino is chutzetz or not chutzetz. Now, this does have implications to what we discussed yesterday, which is the girsa in the Mishnah with regards to Ola ve'emureha, where the Mishnah discussed that if you put on an Ola and its emurim, that they are mitzaref, or they join together to create the kezayit. Over there, the girsa that we had based on Rashi is Ola ve'emureha, Ola and its own emurim, as opposed to the girsa that we find in the Mishnah, which is Ola ve'emurim, which would maybe imply that it's an Ola and emurim from a different korban. The reason that that might be important is because of what Rav says over here. Rav says over here that when it comes to basar and emurim, they are min bimino. And that is the view of many of the achronim with regards to an olah, that the basar and the emurim are not classified as two categories. They're not classified as separate entities, but rather as one entity. And that's the aver or the natachaim that are placed in the mizbeach include both the basar and the emurim. And if that's the case, then saying that the olah ve'emurim together can add up to a kezayit is not really a chiddush. That's obvious, because it's really min b'mino. They're the same item. They're considered to be an extension of each other. If that's the case, then there's no chiddush in saying that the olah, both the basar and the emurim, are mitzdareif, or they can make up to a kezayit and all the halachot that we saw yesterday. And that would then compel you to say, or keep the other girsa, that it's speaking about an olah with the emurim from a different korban. And that's the chiddush over there, since they both belong on the Mizbeach, that they can be mitzarif, the kezayit for halah bachutz. So this statement of Rav might influence that issue with regards to whether it's speaking about one korban back there in the girsa, or it's speaking about two korbanot, and we spent more time explaining that and delving into that yesterday. Next Mishnah. Mincha shelo nikmitza. If you have a mincha that the kometz was never taken off of it, v'kriva bachutz, patur. If you're makriv that halah bachutz, you are patur. Kamtza. On the other hand, if you take off the kometz, v'chazar kumtza l'tocha, and then the kometz fell back into the shirayim, v'krivo bachutz, chayav. In that case, if it was put on the mizbeach bachutz, you're going to be chayav. And so the way to understand this is in the context of the last line of the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah says, Hamaleh kodoshim ve'imurim bachutz chayav. If one puts the imurim and the basar on the mizbeach, then you're going to be chayav. And despite the fact that there might have been a problem of chatzitza, we said that that's not an issue. But the key element of this is that the imurim are there distinct from the basar. Since they are distinct from the basar, the item that belongs in the mizbeach has a delineation to it. And therefore, that item, when it goes on the Mizbeach, is what makes you chayav for halah b'chutz. And the other item doesn't, in some way, mitigate the effects of you putting the emurim on the Mizbeach b'chutz. So that's only true if you can separate or delineate the item that belongs on the Mizbeach. When you have a mincha that doesn't have a kometz that's removed from it, then the kometz isn't distinct in any way from the mincha itself. And the kometz is what goes on the Mizbeach b'fnim, which would make you chayav b'chutz. So now when you put the entire mincha on the Mizbeach b'chutz, that's still not going to make the individual chayav, because the kometz isn't separated or delineated in any way, which is going to make you chayav for being makrib that on the Mizbeach b'chutz. And similarly, if you did that hakravah b'fnim, you wouldn't be yotze, because the kometz isn't delineated in any way. On the other hand, where you separate away the kometz, and it falls back into the Shirayim, even though they're the same item, min b'mino. And in a sense, it's no different than the Reisha case, where you have the kometz and the mincha together, they're mixed together. Here it's different, because you've already delineated, you've already separated away the kometz, and that's what has to go on the Mizbeach b'fnim to be kasher, or on the Mizbeach b'chutz to be chayav, and the Shirayim won't prevent that from happening. So now the Gemara asks, v'amai? Why does this work? When the kometz falls back into the shirayim far exceed the kometz itself. Levatle shirayim the kometz. Why don't the shirayim override the kometz, as Rashi says over here? Ravikeman delete. And it'll be as if it doesn't exist. The bittul will work in the manner by which the rove will overtake the character of the item, and it'll be as if only there's shirayim there and the kometz doesn't exist at all. So ama rebizera, nemra haktara the kometz. Benemra haktara bishirayim. It says haktara by the kometz. That is that you have to be kamatz vihiktir. You have to take off the kometz and then place it on the mizbeach. It also says haktara bishirayim. This is somewhat of a difficult line because the shirayim are nechal, the kohanim. This is kodshei kodeshim, and they are eaten by the zichrei kohuna. So what do you mean there's a haktara written by shirayim? So Rashi says something interesting. He says it's the pasuk of lo taktiru mimenu ishel Hashem. It is the restriction of placing the shirayim on the mizbeach that says that only the kometz goes on the eish of the mizbeach, but the shirayim are restricted from being placed on the mizbeach. With bal taktiru, there's a restriction against placing them on the mizbeach. So he says haktarah is said by the shirayim, but it's a negative formulation. It is that you're not allowed to be maktir them, but that gives you a correlation of haktarah haktarah. The other possible way to explain it is that when you're speaking about a minchat kohen. Minchat Kohen is Kalil ala Mizbeach. So there is a din of Haktara that is associated with the Shirayim, when the case is a case where the Minchat has to be fully placed on the Mizbeach. That's true by a Minchat Tzibur, it's true by Minchat Kohen, it's true by the Minchat Chavitin. The only problem with that explanation is that there's really no Shirayim there, because there's no Kometz. And if you don't take off a Kometz, you can't claim there's Shirayim. And therefore that's not necessarily a great proof, unless you believe that even a Korban Mincha Khalil of the Kohen requires a Kometz, and then the Kometz and the Shirayim are placed on the Mizbeach to make it Khalil on the Mizbeach. But otherwise, it cannot really be a proof because of that, because there's no real Shirayim over there. So we'll follow Rashi's view here that Daktara is Kamatz Viktir of the Kometz, and Bebal Taktiru with regards to the Shirayim. Ma'aktarat Kometz, Ein Kometz Mivatel Chaveiro. Just like by the haktara of the kometz on the mizbeach, if you have multiple kmatzim, they're not mevatel each other. Av haktarat shirayim. So too with regards to the shirayim being placed there, aim shirayim mevatlim kometz. The shirayim are not mevatel the kometz. So this has two stages to it. The first stage you're familiar with already, which is from the dam of Yom HaKippurim, where it says, v'ikriv et dam hapar v'et dam ha-seir. In the final stage of the matnot dam bifnim on Yom HaKippurim, you put the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSeir together. And the Gemara in Yoma says, everyone knows that the volume of the Dam HaPar far exceeds that of the Dam HaSeir, and therefore the Dam HaPar should overwhelm the Dam HaSeir and make it as if the Dam HaSeir doesn't exist there. So Mikan, from there we learn that Ein Olim Mivatlim Zeh Et Zeh. Things that go on the Mizbeach are not Mivatel each other. So just like the Dam HaPar is not Mivatel the Dam HaSeir that's going to go on the Mizbeach, so to over here, a kometz will not be mevatel another kometz. One ole will not be mevatel another ole. So that's the first stage of the Gemara. Just like it's true by dam, it's true by the kometz, that one kometz will not be mevatel another kometz. Then the Gemara extends that through this limud of haktarah to say just like one komets is not mevatel another komets, so too shirayim are not mevatel the komets. It is not the strongest of limudim. There are a number of weaknesses in limud. One weakness is the fact that shirayim are not olim. They're not things that belong on the mizbeach. So therefore, to apply the din of ein olim mevatlim zeh to komets and shirayim, even if you have this haktarah, seems like a difficult extrapolation. And beyond that, the fact that you want to create a hekesh through the haktarah, also is a weak form of limud, because one of them is a positive haktarah, which is the komets, and one of them is a negative haktarah, which is the shirayim. Either way, the Gemara then comes to the conclusion, despite the fact that the shirayim overwhelm the komets doesn't lose its identity because of this limud, that the shirayim don't have the capacity to wipe out the komets. Now, interestingly enough over here, the Gemara does not ask, what about the fact that there's a chatzitza? The Gemara in the previous scenario said, well, when you have a murim and basar, amai, why does it create a chiyuv of ala b'chutz? Don't you have a chatzitza of the basar? So how come over here the Gemara doesn't ask that question at all? You could suggest this. The Gemara already answered that question before, and you'll give the same answer over here. But it seems there must be something more fundamental here, that the Gemara doesn't see there being a problem of chatzitza. So that could be for one of two reasons. That is that by basar and emurim, the basar is distinct from the emurim to the point that even Rav's statement of min b'mino isn't accepted by Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. So the fact that it's min b'mino over there is already a stretch. Whereas over here, by the mincha, maybe even Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel will agree that this is min b'mino. Because the komets is taken away from the materials that make up the shirayim. They're identical in their composition. And therefore, min b'mino makes a lot of sense over here to say there's no chatzitza because it is min b'mino. So that's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is the source pasuk that Rashi brought before for the fact that there might be a problem with chatzitza. He brought from the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, which is v'achu ben Aaron ha-kohanim et ha-tachim et ha-rosh v'tapadu al etzim ha-shel eish ha-shel mizbeach. That imperative is only found by a behema, by a korban. We never find such an imperative by a mincha. And so therefore, the requirement that there be no chatzitza might only be applicable by a korban that is placed directly on the eish, on the maracha, but may not be true with regards to a mincha, because we don't find any similar pasuk that mentions the requirement by a mincha to place it directly on the eish or on the eitzim. Alright, now the next mishnah. Hakometz v'halivona. So now, when it comes to a minchat nedava, as Rashi notes over here, there are two matirim. There are two items that release the shirayim for the Kohanim to be able to eat it. And that is the komets. Komets is the handful or fistful, which we'll spend time in Menachot on exactly what that means, that is taken off the mincha. Levona is the frankincense that's brought along with the minchat nidava, and is placed on top of it, and then taken off, and placed in the kli sharet, and then the komets and the levona are placed on the mizbeach. So they are what we call ko-matirim. They together are matir the mincha, to be eaten by the Kohanim. So now, ikriv et achad mehem b'chutz. If you are makriv, one of those two items b'chutz, the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, say you are chayav. Rabbi Elazar, puter, achi akriv et hasheni. Elazar says, you're only chayav once you're makriv, both of them. It's not sufficient to put one of them on. You need to have both of them on in order for you to be chayav b'chutz, because that's what's matir bifnim. Bifnim, you need both of them in order to be matir. So therefore, in order to be chayav b'chutz, you're going to need both of them. Echad bifnim v'echad b'chutz. If you're ready, one of them was mukrav on the mizbeach, and then the second one you took and were makriv b'chutz, even Rabbi Elazar will agree that you're chayav, because then both matirim ended up on the mizbeach. Just a question of which mizbeach. The first one ended up on the mizbeach in the mikdash properly. The other one ended up in the mizbeach b'chutz. But both of them now are mukrav, and therefore the second one would be chayav hala b'chutz, even according to Rabbi Elazar. And we have a parallel situation with regards to the Shnei Bazichei Levona, the two ladles full of frankincense that are placed on the Shulchan with the Lechem HaPanim. Those are the Matirim for the Lechem HaPanim. So there, Shikriv et Echad Mehem B'chutz, according to the Tanakhama, even if you makriv one of them B'chutz, you are Chayav. Rabbi Elazar, Puter, Ad Shikriv et Hasheni. Rabbi Elazar says you are Patur until you put both of them on. They're both the Matirim, and together they are Matir. And you're only going to be chayav b'chutz for where, which would be chayav bifnim. And so bifnim, you need both matirim. So to b'chutz, you're going to need both matirim in order to be chayav. And then once again, if echad bifnim, if he had one of the bazichim already placed on the mizbeach hachitzon, and then he placed the second bazich on a hakrava or halah b'chutz, then even Rabbi Elazar will agree you're going to be chayav, because then both matirim ended up on the mizbeach. And now, Rashi explains over here that the matirim of the lechem apanim are vaitala lechem azkara. So it says by the lechem apanim that the bazichei levuna will be an azkara. And it says, ne'emar kan azkara, but ne'emar lahalan azkara. And like it says azkara over here by the bazichei levuna, and it says azkara by the komets, malak lan komets matira tishiraim, just like the komets is matira tishiraim, af halivuna, by the lechem apanim, matira tita lechem. Ubishayere mincha aktiv, and with the residual of the mincha it says, yochu arun v'nav, kodesh kodeshim yishay Hashem, eno lachar matnot ha'ishim. You're only allowed to take the shere ha-mincha after that which belongs on the maracha, and the pyre is done. So both by the lechem apanim, in order for the lechem to be released, you need the levona to end up on the mizbeach, and by the shere ha-mincha, you need the komets and the levona, which are the items that go to ishim, to be taken care of before you release the Sharia Mincha to be eaten by the Kohanim. Again, this matches up with the positions that we saw before of the Chachamim Rabbi Elazar, that Rabbi Elazar requires kulo, the entirety of the item, to be mekrav, in order for you to be chayav. Rabbi the Chachamim don't require the entirety of the item, even one of the two matirim is sufficient. Now the Gemara asks, by Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, komets mau shiatir kenegdo bishirayim. Can the komets release its percentage in the item? Is it mishra shari? Or is it klushe miklash? Or a klushe miklash? Is it something that is matir? Or is it something that weakens it? I'm going to first explain it according to the way Rashi explains it. Rashi says over here, if you are maktir the komets, not the levona, which means that you only put one of the two matirim on the mizbeach, can that komets be matir chatzi hashiraim? Can that be matir half of the shirayim? Uboran the chalkan. And he'll separate them out. It's not clear if he has to separate them before, or he separates them afterwards. So he'll separate about half of it. And then, can he eat it? Is it mishra shari? Does it release that item completely? Which means that it is a matir, and therefore the half that you segregated out, you can now eat, because it now becomes sharia mincha. Or do we say, aklushe miklish? That it just reduces the isur of the entirety of the item, but you still need a second matir in order to allow it to be eaten. Or in essence, the question is, if you have two matirim, is each matir 100% of 50%? Or is each matir 50% of the 100%? So if you believe it's mishra shari, which is that it's matir 100% of the 50%, then you can segregate out that piece and say that it's mutar the gamre. And the other piece is waiting for the levona. If you say that it's matir, 50% of the 100%, then all you've done is reduce the isur, but you still need the other matir to release everything in order to make it mutar the gamre. So that's what the question is, according to Rashi. On the other hand, the Bali and Tosafot, they're not comfortable with the fact that you consider here that you could be matir half of it. So he learns almost the exact opposite. He says, v'nir lefaresh, the lav lishture b'achila kamar. Clearly not coming here to tell you that it's mutar b'achila. Elodim ishra shari palga. If you say that it releases 50% of the mincha, idach palga b'isura kaima. That means that the remaining 50% has a full restriction on it. So not the 50% that is matir, because you need both matirim in order to be mutar b'achila. But maybe the matir works on 50% to release that 50% from the chiyuv of malkot. That if you consume it, won't be chayav makot. But that implies that if you eat the other 50%, which has 100% of Easter still in it, you are going to be chayav makot. Or do we say, miklash lekula mincha? It weakens the entire mincha, which means that if you eat any part of the, you will not be chayav makot, because it's already a reduced level of Easter. So Tosfot reads it as a question about makot. Have you released it from being chayav in makot? If you say that each matir is matir 100% of 50%, then the matir that cleared up the 50%, you're not going to get malkot for eating that. But that means the other 50% that is there, residual, has full-fledged Isur associated with it, and you're going to be Chayav Malkot for it. On the other hand, if you believe that it is 50% of the 100%, then all the Vatir did was take it down a notch, but there's still an Isur there, but you can't give Malkot for it. So no matter what you eat of it, there's going to be no Malkot. So that's how Tosafot phrases the question. And the Gemara says here, Aliba Daman, this question of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka, according to which Tana is he asking this? Ialiba the Rabbi Meir. If he's asking this within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, who believes the Amar Mifaglin Bechatzi Matir, who says that you can have Pigol even with a Chatzi Matir. So for instance, in this case, if you have a Machshava of Chutz L'Zmano when you are Makriv, the Komets, or you have a Machshava Chutz L'Zmano when you're Makriv, the Livona, that is Mifagel Bechatzi Matir, then, of course, Mishra Shori. There's no question here that each matir is a release, because if it is efficacious enough to create pigul, which we know the din of pigul is that the only psul in the korban can't be the fact that you had a makshevet chutz l'zmano. But aside from that, it has to be that you're doing something effective and the korban works. So if you can be mifagel with the chatzi matir, that means whatever this matir is doing is effective, aside from the fact that you had a problematic machshava. But ex that problematic machshava, as Rashi notes over here, the e kimaktile bishtika, lo shari kizait minayu, if you're matir without any improper thoughts, if it did nothing, and it wasn't matir the kizayit, the gamri heichav ya machshava. Then how is machshava chutz l'zmano affected by huzayit, adumi de zrika bina? You need it to be similar to zrika tadam, where it is bina de shari the gamri, that it does a complete release of the item. So in order to be chayav for a machshevet of chutz l'zmano, it has to be that if it were not for the machshevet chutz l'zmano, whatever you did would have released the korban and been completely effective. So that means that according to Rabbi Meir, who says, Mefagli b'chasi matir, there's no question that it's Mishra Shari, that these matirim over here are releasing 50% of the mincha. Whether for Rashi that means that you can eat that 50%, or according to Tosafot means you won't get Malkot on this 50%, but you will get Malkot on the other 50%. So that can't be what Rav Yitzchak Nafka is asking about. He'll leave it to Rabbanon. If he's saying this in the position of the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Meir, who say, Eim mifaglim b'chatzi matir, that there's no pigo in a chatzi matir, lo mishra shari, for sure the Rabbanon don't believe mishra shari, because otherwise they would believe that you could be mefagel b'chatzi matir. It must be that whatever you do with the one matir isn't sufficient to be efficacious in releasing something completely, and that's why you can't be mefagel b'chatzi matir. And then, velo miklash kolish. And also, it's not a weakening. Now, that's not as obvious perspective from the Rabbanan. It's clear that they don't believe Mishra Shari. It's not clear that they don't believe Miklash Kolish, and that's what Rashi says over here. It's definitely not Mishra Shari, but it's also possible that it's not Miklash Klushe. It might be that the Rabbanan think that neither of those are true, or it could be that the Rabbanan believe that it is Miklash Kolish. But if that's the case, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka's question should not have been, is it Mishra Shari or Miklash Kolish? Should have been, the question should have been, is it Miklash Kolish or not Miklash Kolish? That should have been the nature of his question, not a question about Mishra Shari and Miklash Kolish. So therefore, it can't be that he's asking this question in the Shita of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, Ella, it must be, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar. It's according to Rabbi Elazar. The Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, ki Rabbanan svirle. What do you mean? Rabbi Elazar holds like the Rabbanan. Damar, eim mefaglim bechatzi matir. He subscribes to the view of the Rabbanan that there is no pigul bechatzi matir. And if that's the case, Rabbi Elazar is in the same position as the Chachamim. We know that because Rabbi Elazar says that until you place the entirety of the matir, that means both matirin, on the mizbeach b'chutz, you're not going to be hachayav for halah, which means that he doesn't believe that each of the matirim independently has the ability to do anything. If he thought it could do something bifnim, then b'chutz you're going to be chayav. The fact that you're not chayav b'chutz until you put the entirety of the item on the mizbeach demonstrates that that item bifnim has no impact. If it has no impact, then it can't be mefagel. As we already noted in the sheet of Rabbi Meir, only if it's effective in doing something completely and being matir something completely, can there be iser and pigul. And so Rabbi Elazar also subscribes to this view of the Rabbanan that ain't mefaglim b'chatzi matir, and then you have the same issues that you had with the Rabbanan, which is clearly not Mishra Shari, and it may not even be Miklash Kolish. Ella alibid the Rabbanan dehocha. Question is raised according to the Chachamim that argue on Rabbi Elazar and our Mishnah. The Chachamim, the Tanakam over here, says that if you place single matir b'chutz, that you are chayav for that halah, what is their view with regards to this item? Is that something that is mishra shari? Is the reason that they think that it is chayav over here is because it is so effective, this matir, that it's mishra shari, that it has real impact on 50% of the mincha? Again, like Rashi says, or like the Baal Tosfot say, or a cliche miklash, or is it simply that it weakens it? And now, even if it just weakens it, that's enough to be chayav b'chutz. Unlike by pigul, where the requirement for pigul means that it has to be so effective that it is matir something the gamre internally, otherwise it won't be pigul. By halah b'chutz, you just need something that has impact bifnim. So here, both, whether it's mishra shari or miklash kolish, they have impact bifnim. If it has impact bifnim, then you're going to be chayav halah b'chutz. And so the question is, what type of impact does it have? Does this chatzi matir have impact of being mishra shari? Or is it simply a klushe miklash? And that Gemara leaves as a teku, as an unresolved issue. They don't know what that position of the chachamim is. The next mishnah, hazorek miksat dam b'chutz. This is something we quoted before on Kuf Zayin with regards to the machloket Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, where he asked, where is the source of the fact that a person who does a zrika of miksat dam b'chutz, he does any portion of the matnot dam b'chutz, chayav. You are chayav for halah b'chutz. And if you remember, we learned that according to Rabbi Akiva from the words ola o zavach. That's where he learned that zrikat the dam is chayav b'chutz. And Rabbi Shmuel learned that from dam yechashev. So they each had their source for the fact that this is mentioned in the Mishnah. The additional item is Rabbi Lezer omer, af haminaseich me'achag b'chag. Not only is that true by damim, but it's also true by the water libation. If you put on a water libation, me'achag, that word, nitkadesh, for the water libation of Sukkot, bachag, on Sukkot, again, we discussed this in Rashi yesterday, that you need context in order to be chayav for halah b'chutz. Over here, if you do a nisuch ha'mayim, which was mayim that was nitkadesh for the mizbeach bifnim, on Sukkot, and you do that b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for halah b'chutz. Me'achag, bachag, b'chutz, you are going to be chayav. Rabbi Nechemi omer, Sherei Adam, Shikruvo, Bechutz, Chayav. The residual dam that goes on the Yisod HaMizbeach, if that's placed on the Mizbeach Bechutz, you're going to be Chayav Hala Bechutz, and as Rashi notes over here, that's because Kasavar, Rabbi Nechemia, who we saw back in Ezum Uqam, believes Shiraim Ma'akvin, that the Shiraim are Ma'akev the Kapara, and therefore without the Shiraim being placed on the Yisod, you're not going to attain Kapara. That means that that dam is effective internally in doing something, having impact. And so if it has impact internally, and you do it b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for halah b'chutz. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Umode Rabbi Elazar b'damim. Elazar agrees by damim. Ditanya, because we have a breita, Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbi Shimon omrim, v'makom shepasak hu matchil. So the nature of this statement of Rabba is very problematic. As the Baal Tosafot already note, Tema, Maika Mashmalan Rava. What is Rava teaching over here? Mi Matnitani. It's straight out of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah over here says, Tarazurek Miksat Damim Bachutz. You put a Miksat Damim Bachutz, you're a Chayav. Then right after that, you have Rabbi Lazar say, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Af, also Haminasech. When you say the word also, that means you agree with the first statement of the Mishnah. So it's obvious from the Mishnah that Rabbi Lazar believes that the first statement of the Mishnah is correct, which is, Azurek Miksat Dam Bachutz, you are Chayav. Rava comes along and says, Molde Rabbi Elazar bit Damim. Rabbi Elazar agrees by Damim. What do you mean Rabbi Elazar agrees by Damim? It's explicit in the Mishnah. What's Rava adding over here that we didn't know from the Mishnah? So that's the question of the Baalei Tosafot. The first possibility is, Vish Lamar, Salka Datcha, the Rabbi Elazar Kai Yahanu Da'el. That Rabbi Elazar is referencing back to the items before, and when he says Af, it's not going on what was directly before it in the Mishnah, but the items that came earlier in the Mishnah, where we say that they are chayav halah b'chutz, instances or cases where Rabbi Elazar would agree, and then he says af over here, so the af is not referencing directly to the miksat damim. That's a little bit of a difficult answer. The od yesh lomar, he gives an additional answer, the metnitan ikluk mebe damim achitzonim. And you could have established our Mishnah that it's only true, but the dam that is placed on the mizbeach hachitzon. As we saw back in the machlok between Beit Elo and Beit Shammai, the Beit Elo's view in the way that we paskin is that a matana achat of any of the korbanot and the mizbeach is effective in attaining kapara. So that could have been the explanation of when you do a miksat damim b'chutz, your chayav, because that miksat damim b'fni would attain kapara, b'diavad, And therefore, when you do bachutz, you're chayav. That could all be relating to the mizbeach hachitzon. But when it comes to the mizbeach hapnimi, or the damim that are brought into the echal, maybe over there, those mot no dam, if you do mixat of them bachutz, that would not be something you're chayav ala bachutz. And that's Rava's chiddush over here. Rava's chiddush over here is that the matnot damim of the chatot hapnimiot, also, if you do mixat damim bachutz, you're going to be chayav. And that's exactly the bright that Gemara brings afterwards, speaks about the matnot dam of the chatot hapnimiot. And for that reason, it would make sense to say that that's what Rava is extending or adding to that which the Mishnah said. The last possibility which is offered over here is the fact that when we say Mulde Rabbi Elazar, we're not referring to Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, but rather referring to Rabbi Elazar of the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar of the previous Mishnah, who says that when it comes to Shnei Matirim, over there he required both Matirim to be placed on the Mizbeach HaChitzon in order for the individual to be Chayav HaLa B'chutz. So what Rava is saying is, that position of Rabbi Elazar with regard to the Matirin by the Komets and Levona is true there. But over here by the Damim, he is Modeh. Here he agrees because the Damim can be separated from each other. As opposed to the Komets and Levona, where they together create the Matir, or are the Matirim of the Sharia Mincha, by the Dam, that's not necessarily true. The distinct Matnot Dam are not all on an equal level. The first Matan Dam really accomplishes the necessary Kapara. Everything else is an enhancement after that. And for that reason, even Rabbi Elazar here will agree that a single Matan Dam Bachutz will make you Chayav, even though generally you need either Shtaim Shen Arba or Arba Matanot in order to Matir the Korban. So that's another way to deal with what the Chiddush of Rava is over here. And now, the Tanya, we have a Braita. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Amrim, Mimakom Shepasak Umatchil. This is from the Mishnah in Yoma. With regards to the matnot dam of the chatot of pnimiyot, if something goes wrong in the middle of you doing the matnot dam, like you spilled the dam, or if the other behemah dies, for whatever reason that you need to restart, what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say is, wherever you left off, that's where you begin. So if you're in the middle of a series, you stop there because you have no longer have the dam to do it, there's some psul, and then you go, shech the new korban, and then you continue from exactly where you left off. What that shows you is that every matan dam is me'akev, but not only is it me'akev, it is effective in accomplishing the kapara independently. As you place each matan dam, it is effective in doing what it's supposed to do because you won't have to repeat it later on. If that's the case, if you do that matan dam b'chutz, you're going to be chayav ala b'chutz because it's effective bifnim. If you believe that if you did these matan dam and then something happened, you'd have to restart it, that shows you that they are not a single entity that can be separated out. It means that all together they are me'akev, and all together they must be done in order for you to attain the kapara. But if you can segregate them or delineate them by saying that each one by itself is an accomplishment, and if something goes wrong, you just continue from after that, that shows you that each one independently is significant, and therefore if you do ala b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for that. Alright, so now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, af minaseich me'achag b'chag b'chutz. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishom Rabbi Menachem Yodpa. So Rabbi Yochanan says over in the name of Rabbi Menachem Yodpa, Rabbi Elazar, Bishitat Rabbi Kiva Rabbo Amra. Rabbi Elazar, this is more evidence of the fact that the individual who's mentioned in the Mishnayot is Rabbi Elazar, at least with regards to this Mishnah, it's true. It may be then that it affects the other Mishnayot, that it's also Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva. And Stam Rabbi Eliezer, who is Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanos, was a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. The fact that the Gemara calls him a student of Rabbi Akiva indicates that it's Rabbi Elazar that's being mentioned in our Mishnah. But it says, Rabbi Elazar is following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva Rabbo, Amra Damar Nisuch Hamayim De'oraita. Because Rabbi Akiva believes that Nisuch Hamayim on Sukkot is Min HaTorah, D'Tanya, because we have a Braita. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Unzacheha, which is found on the sixth day of the Korbanot of Sukkot, even though, again, generally it says Minchata v'niska, there are three exceptions to that. That's another limud that tells you that there is Nisuch HaMayim min HaTorah, which is that the extraneous letters are Mem Yud Mem, which spells Mayim, but the limud that Rabbi Kiva brings is Unzacheha, which is a plurality of Nisachim, v'shnei Nisuchim HaKatuv Medaber. The pasuk seems to hint at the fact that there are two libations here. Echad nisuch hamayim, ve'echad nisuch hayayin. One of them is water, and one of them is yayin. And that's the source min haTorah for nisuch hamayim according to Rabbi Akiva. Now what Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Menachem Yudpa is suggesting is that in order for you to be chayav for halah b'chutz, whatever you do, bifnim has to be a Torah-prescribed item. So the water libation has to be a Torah-prescribed water libation, bifnim, in order for you to be chayav for halah bachutz. Because if it was not midoraita bifnim, there's no way you're going to be chayav for halah bachutz if it doesn't have any impact midoraita bifnim. So that's what he's suggesting here, that Rabbi Lazar is subscribing to that position of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Amalei Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Imal halan shloshet lugim, avkan shloshet lugim. If you already have a hekesh in the pasuk that connects between nisuch hayayin and nisuch hamayim, because it says unsachea, then once you're doing that already, it seems to imply that just like by yayin, the minimum shiur of a wine libation is 3 log, then so too by the nisuch hamayim, the minimum threshold should be 3 log. Vaha, Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says, Me'achad kamar. He doesn't give any qualification as to what the size is. He just simply says, Me'achad. He doesn't say it has to be Shloshet Lugim. Sounds like even it's less than that, or even it's more than that. He doesn't say that it has to be Shloshet Lugim. So how can you claim that Rabbi Lazar is following the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe? If you follow that Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that would imply that the Nisuch HaMayim should be like Nisuch HaYayin of Shloshet Lugim. And Rabbi Lazar doesn't say that in our Mishnah. Ma'lahalan b'shar yimot ha'shana. In addition, if you have a hekesh between Nisuch HaYayin and Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaYayin has application all year round. Avkan b'shar yimot ha'shana. So too over here, the Nisuch HaMayim should be problematic all year round. V'Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah says, B'chag kamar. He only said that it's a problem, B'chag on Chag HaSukkot. Now, the Balei Tosafot already questioned this assumption, the Gemara. It's very difficult to understand what the Gemara is saying. We know that one of the principles of halah b'chutz, or being chayav halah b'chutz, is something that's ra'oy bifnim, something that can be brought bifnim. So it makes sense that when you're talking about nisuch hamayim, if there's a requirement to bring it on Sukkot, then in the context of Sukkot, if it's done b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. By shar yimot ha'shana, why should you be chayav for nisuch hamayim b'chutz if it wouldn't work bifnim? And that's what the Balei Tosafot would say. V'teima, da Rabbi Akiva moded, ein nisuch hamayim ela b'chag. Rabbi Akiva clearly thinks that the Nisuch HaMayim only applies by Chag. V'yesh Svarim D'Garse. There's some Svarim that have a different Girsah than our Gemara, where it says Haseich Nesach. That's from the Pasuk that's found by the Korban HaTamid. And the fact that it says Haseich Nesach, which is Shnei Nisuchim, that's the limud of Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin. And that would have application all year round, because the Korban HaTamid is applicable all every day of the year. And therefore, maybe you would think that Nisuch HaMayim could have application all year round. So Rabbi Akiva's Pasuk is Unsachea, which is found on the 6th day of Sukkot. And the Gemara in Tanit says, from Rabbi Kiva's Shita, you see that he thinks you only maskir mayim starting on the 6th day of Sukkot. So you see clearly he believes that it's limited to the 6th and 7th day of Sukkot. It's not the entirety of Sukkot. And forget about shar yimot ha'shana. So how can you claim, or how could you suggest over here that that's the case? So one suggestion is that you have a different gears of Haseich Nesach, which is the limud of Rabbi Kiva. The problem with that, and Tosafot notes, is that the Gemara in Tanit says that's the Shita of Rabbi Natan. That's the Shita of Rabbi Natan, and Rabbi Kiva has a differentiated Shita from Rabbi Natan. So that can't be the way to read it over here. So then he brings another Girsah that Rabbi Nutam says. Omer Rabbi Nutam, the Matzah b'Sfarim Yishanim, he found in the older Sfarim, Ima lahalan b'shar yimot ha'chag, lo, to Rabbi Kiva lo ramza ela b'shishi. So he says that instead of saying shar yimot ha'shana, the Girsah said shar yimot ha'chag, the remainder of the holiday. And that means that, with regards to Rabbi Kiva in the Gemara and Tanit only says the 6th and 7th day of Nisuch HaMayim. Yet, the way Rabbi Lazar phrases it over here is, Me'achag b'chag. He makes it sound like the entirety of the Chag, this would be true. And also, the Hekesh between Nisuch HaYayim and Nisuch HaMayim should have brought it to the entirety of the Chag. So that's the Girsa that the Rabbeinu Tam has. And that is the way that he solves the problem. Tosafot then, with the Girsa that we have, says, V'nira shapir li'ashev girsat ha'sfarim. And you can't explain it even according to the Girsa that we have in our Gemaras. Even though Nisuch HaMayim only applies during Sukkot, you still chayav for it all year round. And he premises that on the upcoming Gemara that tells us that the Nisachim that were brought in the Midbar were brought without Kli Sharet. And therefore, it has implications for Akrava B'chutz even when there's no longer the ability to bring the Nisachim without a Kli Sharet. So it has long-term impact. So Doriri suggests, just like the fact that the water on Sukkot is impactful, then Bahakrava B'chutz or Halah B'chutz, it all be impactful all year round, even though it's only a short duration in which it has application Bifnim, or there's only a period in time in history where it had implications. That's his suggestion. Although, he then backs away from that and shows that maybe that's not true over here. So you can see the dilemma of trying to deal with what exactly is the question of the Gemara here, and what exactly does Rabbi Akiva hold with regards to Nisach HaMayim outside of Chag HaSukkot. So now the Gemara says, Ishtematete Hadam HaRavasi. The way Rashi reads this is that Rav Nachem Yudpa forgot that which Rav Asi had said. So here you have the one statement of Rav Nachem Yudpa that suggests that Rabbi Elazar followed the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. The implications of that are that Rabbi Akiva believes that it is the Oraita, but there's no one else who believes it's the Oraita. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar has to hold like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. So now, what we show here is that there are other opinions that believe that Nisach HaMayim is the Oraita, and it's not sourced the same way that Rabbi Akiva sourced it, which is, the Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya, Ish Bikat Beit Choratan. So this is found in the beginning of Masechet Tanit as one of the other sources for Nisach HaMayim in the Gemara Sukkah as well. Again, we said there were three or four different sources for Nisach HaMayim. So one of them was what we brought from Rabbi Akiva of Unzachel. The other one we noted was the three extraneous letters of Mem, Yud, Mem that spells Mayim. And here's another one, which is Eser Nitiot, Aravam, Nisach HaMayim, Alacha LeMoshe MiSinai. These are all something that comes in Mesorah, Alacha LeMoshe MiSinai, which makes them, according to almost all the Rishonim, with the exception of the Rambam, into something that has the status of De'oraita. And that is Eser Nitiot, is on Erev Shvi'it, there is a requirement to be Musif ala Shvi'it on Erev Shvi'it. They have to stop plowing the fields, either back from the time of Shavuot, or back on time of Pesach, depending on what type of field it is. There are exceptions to that rule, which is Eser Nitiot. If you have 10 young saplings that are planted, distributed it evenly over a Beit Sa'ah, then you have a right to plow the entirety of that Beit Sa'ah all the way up to the beginning, until Rosh Hashanah on Shvi'it. And that's Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai, that there is no requirement of desisting from doing that avoda of plowing on Erev Shvi'it in this instance. So that's one Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Arava, the necessity to do the Arava, which we call today, or which we simulate today, but the Hoshanot that we do in Shul, the Aravot that they used to play around the Mizbeach, and then the Yom Arava on the seventh day of Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, that Arava, or that Din of Arava, is also Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. V'Nisach HaMayim, the water libations on the Chag, are also Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar does not have to hold like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. He can even hold like Rabbi Asi, who suggests that it's Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. Or in essence, there are other opinions that say that it's Doraita, and Rabbi Elazar is not bound to follow his decision of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, and to learn it from Unzachel, and then be bogged down with the problem of the hekesh between Nisach HaYayin and Nisach HaMayim. He can learn it as Halacha LeMoshe MiSinai. And if that's the case, it's not governed by the rules of Nisach HaYayin, and therefore there may not be any shiur with regards to Nisach HaMayim, and it would apply to the entirety of Sukkot, or maybe even the entirety of the year, to be chayav for Allah b'chutz. That's the way that Rashi reads it. The Bali Tosafot over here bring an alternative, is Ishtamitete was not that Menachem Yudpa forgot about this, but rather it was Reish Lakish that forgot about this. Reish Lakish forgot the fact that Rabbi Yochanan also happens to quote another source for Nisach HaMayim Midoraita, this time in the name of Rabbi Asi, and therefore it might be that Rabbi Elazar holds like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, that it's Doraita, but not for the reason of Rabbi Akiva. He has a different reason why that's true. So when we're saying that he holds like Rabbi Akiva, it just means that he holds like it's Doraita, but not that he believes that it's sourced the same way that Rabbi Akiva has sourced it. And therefore it'll be Reish Lakish who forgot over here, and not Rabbi Menachem Yudpa. And the reason that the Bayit Tosafot favor the explanation is because both of these are quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. And so therefore it's hard to say that Rabbi Menachem Yudpa forgot this, when Rabbi Yochanan had both of these memrot. So it's harder to say that if Rabbi Yochanan's quoting both of them. Elim Ken, you suggest that Rabbi Yochanan heard about the one from Rabbi Yassi much later than he heard about the one from Menachem Yudpa, and therefore you could suggest that there was that separation between them that allowed for the question of Reish Lakish to take place. Although the Bayit Tosafot say that in Masechet Me'ilah, Rashi's explanation of the Gemara over there would preclude suggesting that within the position of Reish Lakish. And then he deals with explaining that Gemara as to whether possible to explain the way he did, that the person who forgot here was Reish Lakish and not Rabbi Menachem Yudpa. Now Tosfot does note over here that according to that shita that it was Reish Lakish who forgot, that means that there implied in the Gemara is a shita that believes that there is Nisuch HaMayim Midrabanan and not Deoraita. Now that might also be true even according to the way that we suggest that it was Rabbi Menachem Yudpa. Over there it's easier to keep it within the world of Deoraita not to suggest that there's a Tindrabanan. But according to the way that we're suggesting Reish Lakish forgot about the other opinions, that means Reish Lakish believed that the other opinions were midrabanan. And on that, Tosfot says, that's unbelievable. Even according to the one who says that bringing chulin to the azara is not a Torah restriction, that the chamin would have gone out of their way to be mitakein, bringing chulin, which midoraita, there's no need or necessity to bring in the mayim, and it's chulin, midoraita, to them, have them be mitakein, that you bring in water that is chulin into azara. In violation of the isur derabanan of bringing chulin bazara, seems odd, or seems very strange. Why would they make such a takana? Shema, maybe the fishu azman gishamim, since that is the time of rainfall, or the time that you pray for the rainfall, kadeshi iskru lefne amakom, leitbarech b'megishamim, that it's a good omen, or it's auspicious to bring the water into the Mikdash, to help remind us of the time period, and to get the bracha from Hashem, that the Gishamim should come, which is obviously a big part of Sukkot, and is explicitly stated by the Gemara, and the practices that we have on Sukkot, that we are davening for the upcoming rainy season, and there is a huge association between the Nisuch HaMayim, the Oshanot, that are the prelude to the rainy season and davening for Hashem to help us out in the new planting and rainy season. And so the Baal Tosfot suggests that maybe that's what compelled the Rabbanan to institute Nisuch HaMayim if it's only a rabbinic level. It's just an interesting note of the Baal Tosfot to understand why you would have Nisuch HaMayim the Rabbanan and what would compel them to do something against bringing Chulin to the Azara. Even if you believe Chulin Azara is the Rabbanan, why would they be mitaking such a thing? And here, that's what gives you the reason why it might be important to have mayim or nisuch mayim on the chag. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Haminaseich shloshet lugim mayim b'chag. Someone who does a water libation of 3 log on the chag, mehala b'chutz, outside the mikdash, chayav. Rabbi Elazar omer, imiala l'shem chag chayav. If the waters were filled in, l'shem sukkot, they are chayav. Ma b'nayu. What's the nafkamina between these two positions? The machlok between them is whether you need to have a certain shiur of mayim in order to be chayav. Rashi suggests over here that the kamar tanakama minasech shloshet lugim chayav, that when the tanakama says if you do a libation of 3 log, you're chayav, hu adin yoter mishloshet lugim. That's not limited to 3 log, that's even if you do more than 3 log. Because if you do more than 3 log, 3 log is subsumed inside of that larger number. Even if you put it into a larger utensil, kachinu kli, that kli sharet is mikadesh the mayim, the ain't shiur the meachag the mala, because there's no upper limit as to the meachag. Sounds from him like there is a lower limit, which has to be a minimum of shlosh lugim, but anything you do above that amount will be nitkadesh according to the Tanakama. On the other hand, Atar Rabbi Elazar Meimar Behush Milan L'Shem Achag. That's only if he fills them up for the purpose of Chag HaSukkot, Kederech Miluan. That means in the normal way that they are filled, Da'inu Shloshet Lugim V'Tulo. That means 3 log and no more. That's all you have. There's a kli that is Miuchad, that has the size of 3 log, and that's what's used to fill the water. And even if you fill a kli sharet that's bigger, it's not going to be impactful, because Shloshet Lugim is the exact amount and the limit of what you can do for Nisuch HaMayim. So that's the way Rashi explains the difference between them. The Baalei Tosafot question this view of Rashi, and their basic problem is that Rabbi Elazar says, Me'achag, kamar le'el, dein shiur l'mayim klal, lo l'malo, v'lo l'mato. Rabbi Elazar, who says Me'achag, and we mentioned that before in the question of Rabbi Elazar holding like Rabbi Kiva's Rebbe, we suggest that Me'achag meant that there was no shiur associated with it. If that's the case, then how can you suggest over here all of a sudden that Rabbi Elazar thinks that Me'achag means there's an exact shiur? In addition, you were saying about the Tanakama, when he says Shlosh Lugim, it's Lav Dafka. So the Baal Yitosafot bring from the Rabbeinu Chaim, Ipcha, just the opposite. The Tanakama Savar Yeshi'ur Lamayim. Yeshi'ur Denakat Shlosh Lugim Lo Pachol Lo Yuter. That's why the Tanakama mentioned 3 log, because it means exactly 3 log, not more, not less. There is a shear of mayim on the chag. Va'ater Rabbi Elazar lemeimar, and Elazar comes along and says, "V'hu shemalan l'shem chag, dekavinu mana," because the kli sharei can define what it is. That means whether it's more than 3 log, whether it's less than 3 log, whatever you put into the kli sharei is nitkadesh l'shem chag, and that mayim you'll be chayav for if you're makrive b'chutz, because there is no shiur bifnim. And that would be Rabbi Elazar l'shitato, as we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, that we suggest that the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar was whether that when you place 2 chatzi pras into a mana, is kviut mana milti or kviut mana lav milti. And the shita of Rabbi Elazar was kviut mana is milti. When you place something to a klisharei, it has impact to unify into me mikadesh that item. So the shitato, as Tosfot says over here, so to over here, whatever you put into the klisharei, that's going to be nitkadesh l'chag. And that will define what is considered to be nisuch hamayim for both the mitzvah to do it bifnim, as well as what you're going to be chayav for if you do it b'chutz. If you take any of that mayim and put it up b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. And then that would fit with Rabbi Elazar's view that me'achag is what you're chayav for, which defines no shiur, as opposed to Tanakam, which says shloshu l'gim, which is a fixed shiur. Rapapa amar, bikarvu nisachim b'midbar l'gay. They're arguing about whether nisachim were brought in the midbar. And that, as Rashi explains over here, Tarvayu Yeitohu Yeshior Lamayim. Both of them agree that there is a fixed shiur for the mayim of Shlosh Lugim. But the Bali Tosfot, he points out, it'll be just the opposite. He'll say Tarvayu Eilem Shiur Lamayim. Both of them agree that there is no shiur lamayim, because he says Rabbi Elazar, it has to be that way, because he says Me'achag. So Rashi says that the conclusion of Rapapa is, no, Rav Nachman, I disagree, that's not their machloket. Everybody says that there is a shiur, the nisuch hamayim, and that's 3 log. According to the Bali Tosfot, it means everybody agrees there is no shir, the nisuch hamayim, and their machloket is about the nisachim b'midbar. According to Rashi, the Tana Kam, that's mechayev, lo bayim nisachim kedushat kli. He does not require a sanctification at kli sharet, the chayev aleihem b'chutz, to make you chayav for Allah b'chutz, the kasavar kirvu nisachim b'ol moed, shabimidbar. Because he says that the nisachim were brought while they were in the midbar, Kol Arbeim Shana, that whole 40 years. Hilkach, Biata Aretz Amura, Biparshat Nisachim. Wait, what about the fact that in Parshat Shlach, when it discusses Nisachim, it says, Vayaki Tavol Aretz, that when you come into the land, then you're going to do Nisachim. If you're doing them in the Midbar, then what does it have to do with Biata Aretz? So that is Lamdeinu Ba. That comes to teach you that during the 7 years of Kibush, and the 7 years of Chiluk, the first 14 years that they're in Eretz Yisrael, when they were in the Gilgal, who drew a bamot, then bamot yachid were mutarim, and that bamaktana, where any individual could bring a korban, those korbanot required nisachim, because it's clearly not teaching you that when you have a bamat zibur that you need nisachim, that they're already doing in the midbar. So what is new about biyat haaretz? When you come into the land, you're going to have to put nisachim, even on a bamat yachid. And we know already with regards to a bamat yachid, there's no requirement for a kohen, and there's no requirement for kli sharet. The fact that you put nisachim on a bamat yachid, according to this view, would also mean that you don't need a kli sharet. Since you don't need a kli sharet, you don't need it to be nitkadesh in order to be chayav halah b'chutz. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar believes that the biyat haaretz means literally biyat haaretz. Before they came into the land, they were nisachim. That means in the midbar, they did not have any nisachim. And when it says, vayaki tavol haaretz, when you come into the land, after you've already done the Sheva Shanim of Kibush and Sheva Shanim of Chiluk, and you establish Mishkan Shiloh, that's when you're going to bring the Nisachim. That means that Nisachim were never brought on a Bamat Yachid, only in the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan there was Kli Sharet. So therefore you need a Kli Sharet in order to make the Kadesh, the Nisachim, and same is true over here. Until you put it into a Kli, it's not going to be Nitkadesh, the Mayim, for Nisuch HaMayim. Therefore, you can't be chayav for Allah b'chutz until it ends up inside of a kli sharet. And then we have a third suggestion, which is Ravina Amar, the lemedim nisuch hamayim and nisuch hayayim pligay. They argue about whether you can learn nisuch hamayim from nisuch hayayim, which is nisuch hamayim premised on nisuch hayayim? Again, here Rashi says, the kulei alma karbu nisachim b'midbar. Everybody agrees that they did bring nisachim b'midbar, and that means that you don't need kli sharet. The only question is here, is how similar they are to nisuch hayayim. That is because the nisachim that are spoken about, that were brought in the midbar, and then allowed to be brought in a bamaktana, once you enter into Eretz Yisrael, was only with regards to nisuch hayayin. So nisuch hayayin did not need, or did not necessitate, a kli sharet. And so therefore, can you learn Nisach HaMayim from Nisach HaYayin? The Tanakhama believes you can learn Nisach HaMayim from Nisach HaYayin. That means you don't need a Kli Sharet, but if you're already learning from Nisach HaYayin, you will learn the Shiur from it as well, and therefore you have a requirement of Shloshet Lugin. On the other hand, Rebbe Lazer believes you don't learn it out from Nisach HaYayin, which means two things. Number one is that you will need a Kli Sharet. You will need to be Nitkadesh Bei Kli in order to be chayav for Allah b'chutz. And number two is there will be no shiur because it's not defined by Nisach HaYayin. Nisach HaMayim stands on its own and therefore it has its own shiur, whether that means a koshu or whether that means a log, a chai, which we saw as an alternate opinion earlier in the Masechta. Either way, Rebbe Lazer disagrees with the necessity for Shloshet Lugim because he believes that it's not compared to Nisach HaYayin. Okay, we're going to stop here, two lines down on the top of Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph.